Sorry, KT, it's the sideline for you. This is Core.
Welcome to Core, everybody. This is Core. My name is Scott Johnson. Bo Schwartz and John Jagger are joining me as always, and we're here. Listen, guys, we just got through with the Heroes of the Dorm business. It was all a bunch of colleges, two Utah teams, big idiots, out in the first round. They sucked. I don't know why I even brought that up except to say I don't have any pride in my local teams right now for Heroes of the Storm play. It's very embarrassing. But thankfully, a team of some proximity to me and certainly some proximity to John pretty much swept the entire thing, never lost a game, and made everyone else sort of look bad. So congratulations, ASU. Let's talk about it.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I know you were. So you had to be, right? Now, can you tell me this, though? You weren't excited about the fact that ASU and their uniforms made them look like hot dog on a stick employees, right?
Because no, it's true. I'm not the biggest fan of their color scheme.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not great.
It's like they're taking notes from the Browns.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns.
They're totally
right.
Yeah, it's exactly. Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns think that, you know, those chocolate flavored candy corns that sometimes you see at Halloween, they think that's cool. And it's not cool at all. Aside from that, though, they're they were dominant and in a way that let's talk about this for a second, because this is an issue with all sports. If you have a playoff series in NFL football, or even the World Series or Super Bowl or something where the teams are very outmatched, it ends up being kind of a crappy game. Like, as excited as you are for a team to do as well as they do, if you're the home, you know, if that's your team or whatever, that's exciting and stuff. But sometimes it just kind of blows the whole thing. And I'm not going to say the tournament didn't have its moments or didn't have even some great moments. It's just, on the whole, when ASU was the opposing team, it was just a slaughter.
I felt like, you know, at the end of The Incredibles, when they finally let Dash race and he's just creaming everybody, and then from the stands, they're all right, slow it down, yep. Stop. Yep. That's how I felt as a fan of ASU, because I wanted the matches to go. I wanted it to be a series. So they got up ahead by two and it was like, okay, guys, how about some fun picks? Let's pick Vikings and Murky and Let's make this a series, but no, they didn't.
They were serious about winning. I came away from it with the feeling that maybe these guys were, I mean, some of them said in interviews, so what I'm saying won't be a surprise, but I think they want to play pro. I think they want to go on and like get drafted by, you know, Cloud9 or somebody and be pro players. And, you know, from what I could see, with my limited experience in, you know, being able to eyeball a real pro in this game, they'll probably do it. They'll probably go far. They were really good.
They were so humble about their own ability. Like they, you know, when they had a survey asked of them who they thought the best player was on the team, 4 out of 5 of them answered themselves. I saw that little statistic.
Hey, look, you gotta have pride in yourself. You gotta believe.
I guess, and also that by far they're like that Michael Udall's parents and family had the most camera time apart from the actual show itself. They were on TV a lot.
Well, there were a lot of them.
They won the fan game as much as they won the actual game.
So I'll make a little side note. This is just a little anecdotal thing. Okay. So nobody at home take this too seriously, but they had the look, the feel, the sound of a native Utah team or family that had gone to Arizona or sent him to Arizona to go to school. I'm not even sure they're from Arizona. I have a feeling that this entire crew might have been from, like, I don't know, Provo or Orem, Utah, where 6 or 7 kids is the norm. And they just had, like, I feel like I've met these people at the mall. I feel like I've seen them at the airport. Like, they are the prototypical kind of stereotypic family. And that isn't actually that's not to discount them. They seemed extremely nice and supportive. Obviously, they were way into what he was doing. And if all families were as into their kids playing games competitively as they were, we'd probably have a lot more pros trying to get into the games. But anyway, that was interesting.
It's heartening to see. It's much like when I inadvertently, I didn't realize who I was meeting at the time, but I met Dunk Train's parents when I denied them front row seats.
Oh, you did?
Because I was trying to hold a seat for you, Scott.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was Dunk Train's parents. How did you know they were Dunk Train's parents?
I found out later and felt bad, but they got there. They got when, they when nobody else showed up. And I ended up moving back. They got there.
All right. Yeah. It was, I mean, the way that day went down anyway, it was probably better that they probably got a better pick of seats after, you know, after the technical issues.
Actually, yeah, they did much better. And they were super nice too. They were very, very nice people.
Yeah.
It's not like they came up and they were like, oh, can we please sit here? Were Dunk Train's parents or anything like that. They just, I didn't even know because they came up and they said, are you holding these? And I said, yeah. And they sat back there. And then I found out later and I was like, oh man.
Yeah. You know, the giveaway should have been that she had a huge beard and, no, when, they didn't ever introduce themselves either. Right. They didn't go, yes, we're Mr. Dunk Train's parents. They didn't say
yeah,
it like that.
No.
Okay. I would love that.
But you still don't want to be that guy, but good on you for being public about it.
Yeah. Letting it out there.
We're sorry, Dunk Train's parents.
Yeah, I'm sure you're wonderful human beings. Yeah. You've clearly produced a hell of a player son who, you know, too bad he's not in the thing. But yeah, these kids, these ASU kids, I call them kids. Well, whatever, I'm older now. They seemed real gung-ho and seemed to practice a lot, and I don't know when they're getting actual homework done. Or dating anyone or any of the other college things you do. Because clearly every moment they've had has been put into their play. They were incredible. So, yeah, they dominated. There's no other way to look at it. And
they were really good. But yeah. I would say the other teams need to bring it more. They weren't indomitable. I think we need more students at other schools not doing their homework to give us viewers. Mm-hmm. As jerk viewers, better here is the door matches. Because honestly, I wasn't rooting for any team in particular. I just want to see good matches. And I would say, on the whole, they were not close matches. They felt like stomps both nights of the production.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt it a little bit, especially. I mean, I think if you're a more casual viewer, maybe you don't pick up on that as much. But certainly they were fairly one-sided. And as a viewer who's not invested in any particular team, but let's say it was, and it wasn't the champion team, it's sort of disappointing to feel like one team is way ahead. And they did win the camera time competition. Like, I felt like I heard more about that team than any other team. Mm-hmm. And it's like the only team I know who the people on it are somewhat. So I don't know. That's not to their discredit or anything against them. I just think we need more teams to bring it.
I think what happened is maybe it got under everybody's skin. You know, it actually worked. You spent a lot of focus on them. You talk about the guy's hair all the time. You talk about how dominant they've been. They start to take, you know, quite the stage, and you're always presenting something about them. At some point, the other teams, that's intimidating. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, here's another thing. Why are they talking about Michael Udall's hair? Like, that fam guy has the best hair on the team.
Oh, by far.
Why are they not talking about his hair? He's got a gorgeous charcoal mane. Charcoal? Dark espresso-colored mane. And they're like, oh, Michael Udall, he's got a wave in his hair. I mean, look at that majestic hair on fam.
So, I know. You wanted to run your hand through it. Yeah, you wanted your fingers to go through his luxurious hair. I know how you are.
Yeah. It was way better. Michael Udall, 6.5 out of 10 on your hair. Fan's hair, 10 on 10.
Oh,
10
on 10. Shots fired.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's getting brutal in here. All I'm going to say is when hair waves at you, you got to acknowledge it.
Yeah, you got to say hi back. It's fun, though. Okay. One of the things I noticed about the entire event was, well, to my chagrin, the lead-up games, the tournament games were all on ESPN, but they were on ESPNU and ESPN3 or something. And as it turns out, my internet connection automatically lets me stream those games. I'm an unplugger, so I don't have any, you know, regular cable anymore, but I have cable internet. And when ESPN.com sees my connection, it goes, oh, you're a subscriber to one of the networks that carries us, so therefore you can have the streams. So I got to see all those. I watched some when I played games with you guys during the Heroic 8 or whatever it was called, or the 8. What is it? What was the 8 called? Whatever it was. Yeah, the 16.
Epic 8.
That was it. Heroic 4, that's right. And so that was great and everything, but I come around to watch some stuff on Sunday thinking I'm just going to be able to log in like normal. And it keeps telling me, sorry, you don't qualify. And the only difference was this was on ESPN2. And I guess I don't get all the ESPNs by the virtue of this connection. I only get ESPNU, which is focused on mainly college type stuff, and ESPN3, which is mostly like log tossing and pig kicking or whatever they do on there.
Oh, man.
So
you have to be a pig.
So ESPN2, which is, I mean, what does ESPN1 do anymore? I guess that's all the primetime mainline heavy duty sports.
It's Jersey Shore and stuff.
No, yeah. Perfect.
Isn't that okay. What they do with all the channels?
They're like MTV. They used to be sports, but now it's all reality shows. But anyway, it was really annoying. I was super frustrated and I had to follow the game via other people and kind of hear what was going on. So even that Heroic Four was kind of pathetic for me. I wasn't able to really catch any of it. Made me sad.
Yeah, really bummed the way television does things, because I got to watch it all on YouTube as if nothing happened here in Canada. And it played on our sports network, TSN, the sports network.
Is that really what that stands for? Is that really?
This is the one.
I think so. We're pretty creative up here, especially in the television industry. TV, man, like old news that they need to get their act together and be like more, I don't know, just have their stuff make sense and just give us the stuff we want and we'll give you the money for it.
What does CBC stand for up there? Canadian Broadcast something company?
Corporation.
That is boring. Yep. Jeez.
Yep. Hi, welcome to the Fast Food Corporation. Can we get you bread with meat in it combo?
Would you like a fizzy cola drink? Yeah.
Well, we got the sports network, and we got the news network, and we got the movie network.
Yeah. How about we get a cooking network? What do you guys think?
Too complicated for you.
We'll call it Canadian cooking, we'll call it. I don't know what voice I'm doing now.
I think it's called Home and Garden, but you guys might have that in the States, too.
We have Better Homes and Gardens.
Oh, man. One up.
Yeah, take that. Take that.
Yeah, well. Oh yeah, well we got better dams, eh? We got that hydro energy up here.
That's true.
You can't fight the hydro energy. It's way better than whatever you're using, all that oil in your oil.
Yeah.
All right.
Oil in our oil.
All that oil in your oil factories that
we
make
it.
You
did
energy.
It by watching beavers.
Yeah, that's exactly. I should have played this while we talked. That was definitely a little off topic. All right, so the other thing I would say about that broadcast was it was fun watching the casters, who did a great job, by the way, constantly either, I think there's someone in the booth talking in their ear, constantly reminding them to dumb down the vernacular. Like, the minute they start using terms like, you know, if they don't invade, they're going to lose bot. Or, you know, they'd say terms that we all know what all that stuff means, all this shortening of stuff that gamers tend to do. And then one of them would go, now, all right, so Gillyweed, you mentioned the boss. Now let's talk about what the boss is. The boss is like he's like a really hard mercenary. And then you could hear him, and you can almost see their heads spinning like, oh, shoot, if we told them what a mercenary is, do we have to explain what that is? There's a lot of
that. Did they have a Canadian giving them advice on how to describe things?
I don't know. They seemed awful sorry about it, so probably. Anyway.
Except for the F-bombs that they dropped, incidentally.
Oh,
I didn't hear
that.
Them, but I heard a few got railed off on the last day of the broadcast.
Only heard one, but I was immediately corrected when I said, they still got a PG-13, that's only one. And then I had two or three people come out and say, no, they've done two now.
Oh, that puts them in R. Who did, though? The casters did?
Michael Udall, I think, was one of them.
Oh.
They had them mic'd, I guess, so that during cool replays they could play them cheering or whatever.
Yeah.
And they cut to them. First they were showing the other team near the end of the match, and they're yelling, go, 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 do it, do it, do it, do it. And then they cut to the other team right at the end of the match, and he says, that's effing game.
Nice. See, I missed out on all this because I couldn't get in there. Dang it. It was like that time we saw there was one of the last Super Bowls, or I guess it was the last Super Bowl that, what's his name? It played for San Francisco. He came from here. I should know this.
Tim Tebow.
No. San Francisco 49ers, back when they were good. You're doing that thing
John,
I always do.
John, help me. Help me.
I don't know sports. I'm just willing to admit it and not try.
There's a big picture of him at Nerdtacular at the place we stay. Oh, shit. Anyway, this guy.
Yeah,
he's like Mr. Squeaky Clean guy, right? Married once, doesn't party with the rest of the team, just like a super nerd that way. But he's one of the best quarterbacks they ever had. What is wrong with my brain, though? I can't remember his name. Anyway,
Steve Gutenberg.
No. Steve Young. That's it. Steve Young. You got me there by saying wow. Steve.
You got close.
So Steve Young, wow. One time during a Super Bowl game or his last Super Bowl game, they turned on his mic on the sideline because they figured, well, this is Steve Young. He never says anything remotely offensive to anyone. And he is pissed and starts effity F. Like just F-bombing up and down the sideline. And I remember there was almost like a day of mourning in my hometown. People are like, whoa,
oh, no.
I didn't know he could do that. I guess we won't have him out to do the youth speaker or whatever he was going to do.
They saw his mortality. He was peeled from his immortal football throne.
Exactly.
And he's one of us.
All right, now we're back. Can we talk about that KT bug that happened? And KT's no longer, I don't know if anyone has noticed this, but Kalthos, or KT for short. Now I'm like them trying to explain it to people. He got yanked from the game, and not the whole game. You could play him in Quick Match, but you can't play him in Hero League or any of the competitive play in the game. Why, Bo? What was the deal? Why did he get yanked out and it wasn't Stitch's hook?
So, yeah, I don't have any firsthand experience, but I found out about it on Reddit, where this thing shot up to the top of the Reddit posts, and it was basically there's a way where if you kill yourself while you have your D up,
uh-huh.
Or active.
Uh-huh.
Go
if you
on.
Die, then you will respawn with your D permanently up. It's like Viagra for your trait. And basically, that's my understanding. Now, I didn't actually personally do this, but I did play a Hero League game where the opposing KT tried to do this, but somehow managed to fail because he killed himself once right at level one, walked into the turret shots. And then came back and would play a little bit and then kept walking into the turret shots periodically to get himself killed. And I didn't understand why. Mm. But it was clear he was trying to exploit the bug because, you know, that it was just, why would you commit suicide like that unless you, no, there's no way. But he couldn't do it properly. So anyways, we won the game. It was a great free win.
So, but in the theory, though, if that KT would have successfully pulled off the bug, he would have his maximum trait all the time. After
yeah,
this.
So basically, so you can cast your Q at full blast, the big circle, and you can, you know, hit a whole bunch of things with your gravity laps, but specifically Living Bomb costs no mana when you have your D up. So, wow.
all right. We're all 12. So, I like it. It's fine.
You know, and there's no cooldown on it, too, because you can have multiple Ds up. And, you know, with a later talent, you can get multiple charges of, what is it called? Verdant Spheres. Let's be mature adults here.
Right, the Verdant Spheres. You got two Verdant Spheres and a D, right? No, sorry, the three Verdant Spheres.
You press on your D, and you get a Verdant Sphere activation.
Right, and those are those things swirling around KT's head, their body or whatever.
The balls. The
right, balls. His balls.
There are three balls.
All right, anyway. So balls. So anyway, yes. So if you
wait. Am I in Segway land?
Well, let me dig down here. If you've got that trait at its unnatural state of being, you know, up all the time, then that means you're getting the wider radius on flame strike, right? All the time.
Yeah.
Every time you pull that off, that is a bad bug. That's real bad.
Yeah. And infinite living bombs.
Yeah, that's bad. I could see them.
Because there's no cooldown on the living bomb and no mana cost on the living bomb. So you just WWWWW everything. Like it's the information superhighway all up in here. And, you know, it's not good. It's not good.
Why did they let it stay in quick match, though? I wonder. Because that seems bad there, too.
I haven't seen it in quick match either. I haven't seen it in quick match at all. It's funny. This bug came out. I think I played against one key T and I told you about it. Everyone else either got banned or people just didn't pick it because they didn't want to risk getting. The great thing about talking about an exploit in an online competitive environment is I guarantee you that one game I played, all nine of us reported that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like I maybe try and be subtle about it, but I think just avoid the character. That's better. You know, no one wants that noise of getting their account closed permanently for that kind of stuff. So,
or even temporarily. Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah. So,
John, did you ever run into it, John? Did you ever see it in a game?
No, I didn't see anything specifically with KT. Well, I don't know. I did play against a KT that I thought, this is a really bad KT. But I don't think it was because he was getting himself killed or anything. So, I don't know. I don't think it pertained to it. But Yeah, I'm with Bo. Just you know, even in Quick Match, you still have access to the character right now. It sounds like we're only going to have to worry about this for another day or so before it gets fixed. But I just wouldn't take the risk. As fun as it is to, you know, exploit a little bug and have some fun, to Infinite D, you know, just control yourself and don't get banned.
He went the way of Soldier 76 this week. They both had bugs that put them on the sideline, and that was it. Although in Soldier 76's case, it was a skin, his new legendary skin that made him invisible for a time or something. Essentially making him a stealth character. And
is it the camouflage one?
Maybe. It is,
that's really funny.
It might have been. I don't think so, though. I think it's his commander or whatever one.
Oh, okay.
What's that one called? The one with the cape. It looks like a dress. I don't like it. It's not my favorite.
Oh, like Daredevil 76 or something like that.
Yeah, or whatever it is. But the one where he's got the camo is super cool, but I don't think that's the one that did it. But anyway, whatever that bug was the same kind of problem, and Blizzard was quick to remove it. So, and they removed that completely from all play, not just their new competitive modes. Again, it's beta, so who knows what the final policy on that sort of thing would be, but I would have suspected Blizzard would have pulled KT from the entire game for a time, and maybe maybe they can't, given the fact that people have paid for that character and now
I think
down.
The issue is more too that they were probably just all busy with Heroes of the Dorm. Like, imagine everyone on that team being like, it's Heroes of the Dorm time, like nobody's at work.
That's
right?
A good point. Yeah.
Is there anyone at work?
Yeah. No.
I feel like everyone, even if they're at work, they're watching it on their television, being like, oh, great, Kael'thas is broken. Who cares?
Well,
like,
every
Heroes of the Dorm time.
Every Blizzard person I follow, they were all commenting on the game.
Yeah. So
didn't matter what team they were in either. They were all talking about it.
Yeah, but first thing Monday morning, he's out of the game. So, like, clearly, I feel like it's just like, well, they can suffer for it a little bit. Even Dustin Browder tweeted about it. He's like, sorry, we can't do anything about it right now. So.
And then he was out. That was it. let's see. What else? Let's talk about some new character. Okay, so we're just coming off the weekend of double, or not double XP, but the 50% XP boost, and play any character you want. The rotation was broadened to be the entire roster. So whether you own the character or not, you could try these characters over the weekend. And these two chuckleheads and others talked me into finally pulling Murky out of his hole.
Yes.
Giving him a shot. And I walked away from that having really enjoyed it. I have some questions about him. And so what we've decided today is we're going to talk about Murky at length in Core Concepts a little bit later in the show. So he is going to be the subject of today's Core Concepts, be very character specific. So I won't go into many of those questions right now, except to say I really had fun with him. I think I kind of sucked with him. But that's to be expected for, you know, one or two games is all. And I'll say that he plays completely and totally unlike all the other characters that I think I'm good with. And I don't mean that's going to make me not want to play him, but it just is such a different mindset that I've got to get my head around that he can, you know, it's okay for him to die a lot. In fact, sometimes it's better that he is dying. It shows you know what you're doing with him and where you have your egg and how you use that egg and all those kinds of things. We'll get to that in Core Concepts, but it was a fascinating experience and one that I don't know. I'm glad I finally did it and we'll talk more about it. Let's talk about Illidan though, because John pulled out who I like to refer to as the biggest spaz in the game, Illidan.
It feels very accurate too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get to really benefit from the whole, hey, you have access to all the heroes, because I already did. I had already decided to bite that bullet some time ago, but there have been plenty of heroes that I just haven't touched. And Illidan was one of those. I think he was level 2, which I think implies I maybe played a practice map with him, something. I somehow got just enough experience to just get into level 2. Mm. And that was before all the changes and everything like that. And picked him up and I think Bo said it best, because I'm playing him and I was very worried that I was going to be awful with him, especially because we were all doing quite well the past several days. We'd all been winning a lot of matches. But Bo said, John, Illidan is your kind of hero. You should be Mr. Illidan. And he's right. I actually really like Illidan. I am not good with Illidan yet. Mm-hmm. I had 9 deaths, which is, is pretty darn high. It was a losing match for one, and it was against a hyper aggressive comp. So that's my only defense against my 9 deaths, but really there was no excuse for it. But he's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to play more of him.
Doesn't he feel like Diablo without all the heavy weight on him? Like he's just a little. Is like if you could get Diablo to go to the gym for a few months and come out, this would be him.
Yeah, he's
aggression personified. Like the thing about Diablo is he can control your fate with his overthrow and his charge, and Illidan has less of that. Illidan's more about hitting, and if there's one thing I know about John, he likes to hit things.
Yeah.
Because we're always talking about how do you get that much damage on stitches? It's like it's kind of impossible, but somehow John manages to find out how to do all the damage.
Yeah, I don't get it. So he led in damage last night in a game where everybody else is playing proficient assassins, and there's John with top damage, top siege, and top XP with stitches. What the hell was that about? Oh my gosh!
Well, you know, it's a battle of attrition. You just basically are always doing damage and you're always in the fight. So it just builds up over time.
All right. That's good advice. Anyway, Bo, you were saying, you were describing. Well,
I was going to say the thing that the reason it's good for John to transition to someone like Illidan, because Illidan plays like he plays, which is run up into people's face, except he's way faster at doing it. And you're trading out some of the crowd control. Well, most of it, you have really negligible crowd control on Illidan, but for being a better hitter. And so I think where it's going to, like, you're going to find it strengthens some of your muscles is the whole bobbing and weaving that he does when it's, like, time to get out, who to target, how to, like, you know, be annoying and how to stick to somebody. Well, you kind of know how to do those two. But when the going gets rough, like, Illidan needs the support of his team and he needs to recognize when he's in danger, because when he's in danger, he dies. When you're a tank and you're in danger, you're like, oh, you know, whatever. I'll take some hits and walk away or whatever. But yeah, so it's good. Yeah. I think this is really good for you. And I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it.
It was fun watching him play that character. Even when you die, it was still fun to watch you just like flying in there like a freak. So,
and I got a lot of kills. Mm-hmm. I was killing people like crazy as well. We just ultimately did not succeed. But I think it was for reasons that were not 100% because I was on brand new Illidan. But it was a good experience. I'm going to definitely play more of them. So I'm glad Bo's happy as well, because there's going to be a lot more Illidan in my future, I think.
So there goes. So there's two. That's one down for me. There's two more I've never touched. Three, sorry. I've never tried Nova once. I've never tried Abathur, and I've never tried Lost Vikings. So at some point, I will need to dust those off and try them, I guess. And quit.
You need to come at those when you're ready to, not when we pressure you to.
Yeah. But this
Murky's easier than those two.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, everything about the, I mean, like I said, we'll get into it more later, but you know, Murky represents, he was a real wall for me because I was intimidated by the weirdness of it. Like, I don't like the like the Vikings, Lost Vikings, I look at those and I just go, that's three dudes. What the hell is this? We're playing StarCraft again. That's like more than one dude. You know, like I can't get my head around it yet, but you know, it was nice to, I don't know. It's like if we have a hero's bucket list, Murky was, you know, virtually, his logo was virtually plastered on that bucket. So it's glad to get him behind me and I'll keep playing him. I'm going to buy him. He's only 7,000 gold. I just need to earn a little more gold and I'll get him. I was going to ask you, Bo, if you had any characters you hadn't tried before, but that's a funny joke because you have all these characters and you've played everything.
No, the one I've played the least is Cho'Gall, arguably. Really? I have all my characters at the level 9 because I, you know, play heroes every day. So,
yeah. So do you? Oh, really? They're all at 9. But yeah, what's your ultimate goal there? Do you want to get them all to 10 or what's past 10 or what are you thinking there?
Whenever there's I mostly sort of hate playing characters just to level them, but sometimes when we're doing quick match, I try to, you know, work on them a little bit at a time. So I just bought a Rexxar Master skin. Mm-hmm. And the Dahaka Master skin. So,
yeah,
you know, it's when it's a hero you really like and you want the Master skin, I'm super thrilled to do stuff like that.
And keep in mind, you have, you know, this stuff you're doing now with Master skins and stuff, this is you playing the game, earning the gold and buying it with gold. Like you're not messing around, right? Like it's just like straight up free to play video game for you at this point.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Although I will say I did buy Dahaka because, you know, I wanted the gold for the Master skins. It is a big gold sink. You can't do both Master skin and go free.
Yeah, that's a good point. But if this Master skin's ugly, then just don't buy it. That's what I say. Go buy a candy cane one or whatever they got out there.
Good advice for the kids out there.
Yeah. It is. BlizzCon tickets and stuff were announced. 4th and 5th of November. The championships, by the way, for Heroes there will be a $1 million prize pool, which is the biggest it's ever been. And no slouch on its own. It's no, you know, it's not quite Dota 2, 18 million, whatever their crowdfundy thing is. But it's, you know, $1 million. Nothing to frown at. 4th and 5th of November, I'm finding that hotels this year are incredibly hard to get. I don't know what's going on. Usually you can kind of wait until after tickets go on sale, which don't happen until the 24th of this month, and you can still get a pretty good hotel. You may not get the Marriott or the Hilton right there on Convention Way, but you usually can find something close. And the hotel I got tickets at are already sold out. I tried to get Marriott tickets. They were sold out. The rumor is that Blizzard has reserved most of the rooms in the Hilton for their people. So that's why that's really scarce and expensive, by the way. It's like $700 a night or something.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's up $200 or 200% from last year or some crazy number. I don't know what they're doing at the Hilton. Somebody there is just being a dick. Like, they're just sitting around going, you know what we ought to do? They're coming no matter what. These nerds in all their black t-shirts, we need to just jack it up. They'll play it. They'll pay it because they're coming no matter what. They're here to see the Hearthstones and the whatevers, you know? Like, I think they really are taking advantage of it, and it pisses me off.
I have a question about BlizzCon because I haven't been. You know, people like going to hotels. Is there like a trailer park or something where people who, you know, don't get hotels but go to BlizzCon? Like, is there, I don't know, like, what do they call that thing when they're protesting the 1%? Oh, like the little village, you like know, a protest little, village or whatever.
Yeah, like a
shanty town.
Yeah, does a little shanty town open up for all the people who can't afford the exorbitant hotel prices? No, I'm just curious.
Here's what they've been doing. There hasn't been that, but there's people. I mean, in the last few years, the Airbnb thing has kind of taken off. So these bed and breakfasts or homes that are for rent, a lot of people I already know of, and some of the people we play with, they're in on like a home where a group goes in together and pays much less money for 4 days or whatever, and they all stay in the same house for that week or whatever. And it's like a close by, you know, home just a street over or something from where all the fun is. So that seems to be the answer for a lot of people. And some people are just willing to, you know, where's the cheapest hotel? Is it 50 a night? Great. I don't care if there's, you know, a giant man-sized roach under my bed. I'm barely going to be there anyway. So just give
Hi,
me the,
my name's Ted.
The worst.
I'll be your roach this evening.
I have been there. The hotel I stayed at last year, the very first thing I did going into the hotel room was kill a giant spider.
Oh
so
my gosh, dude.
That was the start to the day, and then thought, how did this spider get in here? And then observed the giant crack between the door and where it latched, and thought, oh, that giant traffic way that leads right into my hotel room, that might be it.
Yeah. And then we were going to try to do the Hilton again, because I did it last year, and it wasn't that bad last year. It was a little more, but I was like, well, it's worth it, we're taking the family, we're going to make a big deal out of it. Didn't really have a vacation this year, so we could justify it. But this year, with like a 200% hike in it, I'm like, forget it. Like, we'd walk away paying about $1,500 per person for just hotel. Like, it's ridiculous. So I'm not doing
that. I have an amazing hotel recommendation, but I'm not going to do it on the show because I don't want it to fill up yet because I haven't gotten my hotel room.
You didn't? It's not. It doesn't start with an H, does it?
No, it starts with a B.
All right. Well, I got a room at the Hyatt is what I ended up doing, and it's fine. And it's a lot less.
That's good.
A lot less money. It's just around the corner. So there you go. Anyway, BlizzCon, it's coming. Tickets go on sale on the 24th. I forgot what time of day, and they'll be gone in 3 seconds. So good luck, everyone. Me included. This Sounds of Asmodunk thing's pretty cool. I'm just going to play a little piece of it here. This is, here, let me skip ahead. Here we go. Why is there?
8060?
Yep.
All right, I got it.
No air balls, man. Don't hit the mic stand.
Today we're out at Blizzard Campus, and we're trying to figure out what makes the sound of Asmodunk.
This one may go shonk rather than shing. This is probably the ball.
When you say Asmodan, and then you say sports.
Anyway, so it's like a chronicle of the sound guys at Blizzard out trying to do Foley work for the Asmodunk skin. Boy, they sure are going crazy for the skins, aren't they? Like, they want to make sure we know a lot of work went into making, you know, your $20 purchase worth it or whatever you're paying for that.
Yeah, this was also specifically this video series. I've seen a lot of threads about the initially early in the Heroes days, they did a like the voice of Gazlo, and I think it was maybe Jaina, like a Building the Nexus sort of deal or behind the scenes, and stopped.
Yeah.
And there was a big demand to see more about what the creative were doing, even if they were just little vignettes like this. So this is really great, and I'd just love to see more of this.
I would love Blizzard wide. Yeah. I'd like to see it across the entire company. I'd love for them to just do more behind the scenes. Here's what it's like in the animation department when we're looking at storyboards, or here's what the sound guys do when they're trying to get gooey sounds for the Zerg or whatever.
Like, or the guy that does the art for all the squirrels in Warcraft. Like, who does that?
Yeah, who's that guy?
Who's the guy who doesn't get to make the big boss art but has to do the chickens and the scorpions and the snakes and stuff? He's important, too. I'd love to see a video about that guy.
Yeah.
Or that's Chip.
Chip. Chin's buddy, Dale. They're working together. Anyway,
Rescue Rangers.
It's pretty neat. You guys should check it out. It's on the Heroes of the Storm website and on the official YouTube page. So you guys can go check that out on Tuesday, April 12th. That's tomorrow. Less than, what time is it now? Like 7, 8 o'clock. It's, less than 12 hours from now, probably. We will have a balance patch, and it's going to include a whole bunch of stuff dealing with folks like Falstad, Illidan, KT is going to get fixed, Thrall, Tychus, little support changes, a bunch of other things. So, Bo, you've picked through this a little bit.
Right.
What's the highlights? What are we expecting?
The big takeaway here is Falstad, his cooldown is getting increased on his Mighty Gust from 40 to 60 seconds. Mm. So you won't get blown away quite as often, or you won't be blowing people away quite as often. So they still want to make it powerful, but they don't want to make his giant laser look pale in comparison.
Right.
That's pretty much it. So, yeah, I think it's 60 seconds.
Fans of Falstad were reported as saying, that blows.
Yeah, completely blows. We had a good Falstad the other night. Vesa was doing good blowing all that whole time with us there. And she would do it much more frequently than 60 seconds. And I'm going to stop talking about all that right now.
Yep, phrasing.
Phrasing.
I didn't mean any of that to sound like that. All right.
All of a sudden, you start talking about girls. And
I know.
And our guy, dirty guy humor gets inappropriate. Although she'd be the first to say she doesn't care and that you guys all suck anyways.
Yeah, she'd laugh at us.
She was complaining about us holding her Abathur back on Twitter today.
Yeah,
because she sent me a message saying that it was our fault. So.
Yeah, it kind of was our fault. Well, I don't know, so, it? But whatever. Yeah, Vessa, she's really good. So she can say whatever she wants.
She can dish it out and she can take it and soak it.
She sure
all
can.
Right, Illidan.
Illidan, what's happening with him?
Illidan is, I guess he's a little too tough. So, you know, long story short, he's just being tuned down a little bit to make him a little less tough.
Mm. That was not my experience.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you're still finding his nuance. Remember,
you
can't play him the first game and be like, I totally get it. I'm a pro with this guy. So as you play him more and more, you'll see where, you know, your attacks can decrease your evasion cooldown and just make you kind of quasi invulnerable if you don't get stunned. Mm-hmm. You'll get there. And so he's got less block charges, you know, friend or foe talent is decreased, stuff like that. It's very small, but I think they're looking to make him a little less oppressive, which is good news, because if you're not a Kael'thas player, if you're an Illidan player, if you're on the receiving end of Illidan stuff, you feel bad. So rejoice.
Along with KT's fix to his bug problem, they're also buffing him some. He's getting more life and some other stuff. What's going on with him?
Yeah, they're just basically all of his abilities are tuning up his damage for the most part, which is good because I think his change makes him good. Like it takes him out of the OP range where you're able to like 1v1 a guy super effectively the way that the last patch did, but he feels a bit on the weakest side with some of his damage. So they're boosting up the way all of his basic abilities work. And, you know, lowering the cooldown of gravity lapse, for example, and making there's a gravity crush talent that if someone gets hit by that gravity lapse, increases their damage even more. So that's all very small stuff. You're probably just going to feel just a little more powerful, but nothing too crazy here. But overall, nice to see him getting tuned up a bit because he is the broken stuff aside. He is underperforming a little bit. So
he's being tuned for sure. What's going on with Thrall?
So Thrall, curiously enough, his sundering duration is being shortened from 1.5 seconds to 1.25 seconds. Mm. Not a big deal to talk about. I mean, it is a world of time in a team fight, but specifically what they're trying to target with this patch, mainly against supports but also Thrall, is to make the more popular pick either less appealing or make the less popular pick more appealing with very small tunings. And that's what this tuning is targeting. So your Sundering is not going to be as badass, basically.
I actually think Earthquake, or is it just Quake? What do they call it? Whatever it is. Earthquake. That's an awesome thing. Like, it works great. If you're on a team that wants to slow everyone down and then murder them all, I recommend Earthquake. Because it'll do that, man. For a long freaking time. You feel like you're swimming through mud on the opposing team for, like, it feels like 10 seconds. It's not, but it feels like a long time. And so it's all right if you want to try that out. It doesn't always have to be a guy splitting the earth in half and stuff. Just, slow everybody down.
It's like a big... Yeah, I think the big deal is the stun versus the slow. But as a Lunara player, I can tell you slows can make a really big difference, even if they're less flashy. So
yeah,
I agree with you that Earthquake is totally viable.
I would also argue it looks kind of cool. You know, everybody wants to say Sundering is the cool looking one. And it is. It seems super badass. And you love what Thrall yells. I know you do anyway. What does he yell? Enough.
Enough. Yeah. It's like he's a parent mad at his kids. He's just like, enough. I've had enough.
Yep,
go to your room. I'm Thrall. I'm your dad. I'm going to mess you up.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that started real epic and then kind of turned into slightly angry Yoda.
Yeah, I was like drunk Yoda. Like,
that's like how the enough comes off to me, that he's like, you know, and he is bad. I mean, I think if you can split the earth in half, you're probably not having your happiest day.
No, but the other one looks cool too. It's like this cool soupy ground rendering thing. It's neat. So
does it actually do what it does in the trailer for him, where it puts the Frostwolf emblem in the middle of it?
No.
Yes, it does. Yeah, it's just hard to see with everyone walking on top of it.
I guess I don't remember, because he does it right where he's standing. So if you don't move, he's... Let me think about that. Yeah, if you don't move, you're kind of covering it, so you wouldn't see it. And that's probably why I don't see it, because I'm usually kind of just standing there. I don't know. It's been a while since I played Thrall. I need to dust him off. Tychus came out of the latest patch pretty strong. What are they doing to him in the update?
Well, they're updating him. Like, he's getting a bigger health pool, bigger regen. His attack speed bonus for the Master Assassin talent is just being reworked, but I think it's still going to be equivocally powerful. But his trait, Minigun, is actually going to have a bonus damage of 2% up from 1.5% to the Giant Killer aspect of his trait. And I believe the bigger they are, which might be a level 20 talent, I don't remember what level it's on, it makes it as high as 4% damage. Wow. Wow. His gun shoots really fast. So 4%, tick, 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 you're doing 4% all the time. That's really huge. So they're really doubling down on his tank buster side.
And the health buff was massive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, from 1,669 at level 1, I believe, to 1,836.
That's a jump.
It's like almost 200 increase there, HP. And with the 4% per level, that will scale him up better. And that's what I've always said, is he felt way too squishy as someone in armor and like looking kind of like Raynor, being an armored kind of assassin. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't feel like he should be so squishy. So
I agree.
Just moving on real quickly to the support changes, though. They're all very small, but all very interesting. Okay, so they're looking at the support talents, support ultimates, specifically heroics, and saying, how can we take the underpicked one and make it better? So Emerald Wind on Brightwing, you don't often see that one. Well, now when you pick it, it'll passively increase Soothing Mist healing by 8%. So not only do you get the circle of pushing, but you you get extra healing.
Yeah.
That was all you on yourself.
All you, buddy. All you.
I had ideas about circles of pushing. I'll write in my notepad and develop a product later. And then, you know, another example of this would be Lili's Water Dragon. So everyone's usually pretty upset with you if you take Water Dragon, unless you're on a team with people, right? Well, it's the damage of it is jumping up from 192 to 318 per level. So that's a big increase. It's a 50% increase. Maybe we'll start seeing that picked more. Also, you know, Malfurion, when he doesn't take Tranquility, you're like, well, we wanted Tranquility. He's now going to get passive mana regeneration of 1.5 per second increased. That is a lot. So he's going to be pretty much, you're going to love playing Malfurion now because he's not going to run out of mana if you take Twilight Dream.
I've already seen him playing, being played a lot lately, so this seems good for anyone who felt good about him already.
Yes.
Lots of Malfurions out there. I feel like every game I've played in the last week had sometimes double Malfurions if we're in Quick Match. Crazy. Oh, can I say something real quick about Quick Match? I just want to say something real fast. Sure. I had a Hero League game today that I don't want to play Hero League anymore. I don't like it. Like it's not so much that sometimes when you get stomped in Quick Match, you don't get near the toxicity that you do in the other. And I understand it's a competitive environment. People are trying to rank up. I get why that's true. But man, the turds in there cannot be polished. People are just real mean. And I just don't have as much fun as I do in the other mode. I feel like Quick Match just serves me better as in terms of my fun factor. And I don't think it'll always be that way. And as they keep making changes to it, things will get better and better. But every time I go, I really ought to be spending my time over there. I'll go over there and I'll go, ugh, and I'll get out. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. And I know people are probably shouting at their podcast right now going, well, you can report those people and blah, blah, blah. But you play two games. You don't want to be the internet police, because that's what it starts to feel like when you spend two games and you have somebody have to report. I'm reporting people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that job. I just want to play Hero League with people that aren't jerks.
I just
want to
play games. And the two funnest things I did this week was play a big string of wins with you guys and a couple of other wins with just randoms in our game group thing, in the Frog Pants group. They were just in there. They're like, hey, we're doing a quick match. Anybody need a game? And I'd say, yep. And I'd get into like a pre-built five. We didn't even have voice stuff and we kicked butt and we did great. And it was a tight game. And I just have more fun. Like the fun is, I have got to get my head around the idea that I don't have to be rank 20 or 10 or 1. I just need to be having as much fun as I can. And so my focus is shifting. I don't worry about that ladder until we get actual seasons, I think. I just don't care until that happens.
Yeah. The competitiveness does bring out the worst in those individuals who have, the worst in them to deliver, I suppose.
Yeah, but you'd think they'd be so competitive that they wouldn't just lay down and die. Because that's what happened today. It was like we had a Sergeant Hammer that didn't know what he was doing. And he would come, he would put it in siege mode and then just sit there and let everyone kill him. He would never move. And he just didn't understand. He's probably new to the game, whatever. It's fine. And I understood that, but everybody else was so mad at him, they just sat there in the Nexus. They just sat there. It's like, well, it's better just to throw it in 13 minutes than to sit here for 25. And I kind of understand why they want to hurry up and get to the next one, because, this one's not going to work out for them, and they see the tea leaves or whatever. But if you're so competitive, get up and show that you are, man.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing, because I would counter with, I had that game just before the show, where it's similar. Somebody who's muted was just constantly pinging the map, and you can't mute the pings. Mm-hmm. And he was muting and feeding, and we were able to the remainder of four of us were actually able to pull out a win in spite of this person feeding. It was very hard. It was like a 33-minute game or something like that.
Wow.
But you do graduate to that. I find like those happier stories start to happen a bit more as people that are more rational approach the game. Because you're the worst. If you're the one that's pissed about somebody doing something and you throw the towel in, you're the problem, not the person who's in there.
Yeah,
anyway,
we could have won this
game.
But
your point is like the whole thing you don't want to deal with, which is, I think, a legitimate thing to also say.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, I've talked with other individuals in the Frogpants chat who are just like, I don't want to play unless it's with friends. Like, if enough friends are playing, I'm not playing this game.
Yeah.
That's and I don't know that Blizzard could do anything about that either, because how do you, then we're talking about precogs and Minority Report style stuff.
What were you gonna say, John? You feel similar to the friend thing?
I think I'm done with Hero League unless I am specifically playing with somebody. Like, if there's a night where maybe Bo's on and it's just him and I, maybe I would go into Hero League. But generally speaking, I kind of got my placement games, got it, and was like, all right, I'm probably good with this mode. Because the reality is I can get very competitive, and I don't necessarily like that feeling. So I have a tendency to just want to, no, let's just do the casual, you know, whatever is the less stress. And I don't like the, I don't like the way people get when they get hostile in those games, because I try to be as respectful as I can be when people are being, you know, butts in those modes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's hard when you've got somebody that's just repeatedly feeding over and over and over again because they're just not happy with how the draft went, or not participating, or any other number of things that we've all seen happen. It just really bugs me, and it's just not worth it. I'd rather get in and maybe have a bad experience in Quick Match and just, ah, well, whatever, it was Quick Match, and move on with my life than have it feel like it's impacting me in a real big way. So I will tell you the two things that would kind of get me back is, one, playing with people, and the other is if they added an unranked draft mode or increased the amount of people you could queue into Hero League with, I'd probably be all over that, because then we could all play as a team, and that's what I love, and that's what I have a really good time with. So that would be my preference. But if it's just me playing by myself, you probably couldn't pay me to go into Hero League. It's just been too consistently a bad experience.
And the thing with this game I just played today would have been, we still could have won. I'm convinced of it, because the other team wasn't that great. I was, you know, killing people that I shouldn't be able to kill with Meriden, and, you know, and without any support, and like, they just weren't that great. Yet we're throwing the game completely because we have a hammer who doesn't know what he's doing. If we would have just let the hammer do whatever he was going to do and went at it like Bo's earlier game today, we could have won that game. Instead, we not only threw it and threw in the towel and acted like that ruined it for everyone, but at the end of this game, guess who had highest siege, highest damage, and highest XP? The damn hammer character. Well, why?
I've had that exact experience with a hammer.
Yeah, because and the question is why? Well, because the hammer still went out and did stuff, and it wasn't great, and he didn't do a great job at what he did, and he died a ton, but he still did it. And at the end of the day, we did two things wrong. We gave up like a bunch of puss waggers. I don't know what that even is. I just made that up. And two, although I have three fingers up for some reason. But anyway, two, I just looked at my hand like, wait, what are you doing? Two, the hammer went away thinking he did something right, probably, because he dominated numbers. Like, it was weird. It made me go, okay, well, and then I just don't have, I mean, not that you can't have some game somewhere in Quick Match where it's a real poop shoot, but I don't have it very often. It's almost always even if I lose, a good or at the very least decent experience, and I'm not driven away. I feel like I'm actively driven away from the other. Now, some may say, well, why don't you try ranking up and get out of the cesspool? Well, it's the game's doing no one any favors that there's a cesspool to get through.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying it's Blizzard's fault. I'm saying it's a hard challenge and it's freaking hard to do. I don't envy anybody who's got to try to figure this stuff out, or do PvP in WoW, or figure out why Hearthstone might be busted one month, or a million other things that happen in games like this that are this complex. But I'm just saying, from a pure fun standpoint, and I've got 30 minutes, and that's the only time I've got today to spend in a game, I want it to be as fun as I can make that 30 minutes. That's all.
Yep. I agree with you completely.
Yes. Haymaker, Playmaker getting more powerful.
All right, so yeah, we still had some more supports to go in, because this is all part of it.
Oh yeah,
right. Yeah, so Tyrande, her Starfall's getting more powerful. Uth, like, so just costs less mana, does more damage, the whole nine. Divine Storm, the stun amount. So if you like Thrall stun, you might want to play Uther's, because Divine Storm is now going to do a 1.75 second stun, which is a really long stun, and it's in a pretty wide area, so that's good. Also, in that vein, Warrior saw updates, which was Stage Dive is going to do more damage. Falling Sword is going to do more damage. Remember that, Johanna, that on the weekend, John? You're like, why did she take Falling Sword?
That was now so funny. You were just incredulous. You could not believe that she had taken Falling Sword. That was so funny to me.
You want to talk about suddenly someone's throwing in some F-bombs. It was me getting killed by a Johanna taking Falling Sword, and it just confused me. It was like, it's like if you walked out of your front door and there was just a unicorn standing in front of your house, you would just be completely baffled. Your entire world view would change. Everything would be different in your life from that moment. And that's how it was. I was, you know, in a fight with Johanna. I maybe stayed in the fight a little too long, but I was like, well, I'm going to get away. It won't be a problem. And next thing I know, Falling Sword right on top of me. I I'm weird. Still shocked.
Still so weird. Well, I'm glad though, because that is the flashier of the two, and no one ever takes it because it's also the dumbest of the two. And it's nice to hear that they're beefing that up. That's fine.
Yeah, and last but not least, Scott, as a resident Murden player, a big fan of the Murden, who is on the record saying both of his ultimates suck. Haymaker is getting buffed. And so damage dealt to secondary targets increased from 25% to 100% of Haymaker's primary target damage, which means that I think it's becoming a tiny little AoE thing.
Oh, big time.
So he does splash damage with his punch? Is that how that works?
He does. So when he did the Haymaker before, your primary target would get the brunt of it, and then everybody else would in effect get splash damage from it. And it was equal to, I guess, 25. I didn't know what the percentage was, but I guess it's 25% of the overall damage. And that was okay. But it's like any of those things where, you're not really going to make a giant difference. You might hurt one guy, but chances are the person wailing on you is, someone who's confident to be doing that anyway and is not going to die. So it's just this, like, I don't know, it just feels toothless. And then his other one is just a self-saving. I mean, it's okay, especially in solo queue, to be able to save yourself or give yourself some more health, but it doesn't really do much. It's just kind of there.
It's not flashy.
They're just both
Haymaker
boring.
Haymaker is the one with the most potential to be fun.
Also, that's a huge boon for your team. If I can do that much damage to a big group of wadded up team or opposing team, that's amazing.
Doesn't it work a little like Diablo, where you can like leap over the team and Haymaker them back into the rest of your team, and everybody just dives on them and erases a hero?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
doesn't it work like that?
It can. The problem is it's questionable whether because it's such a skill move and it's such a long cooldown, it's not necessarily worth it unless you're 100% good with it every single time. So it just doesn't feel like the benefit that it's supposed to be.
Falstad doing the Z and then failing with his wind.
Exactly. So when you describe what you've just described and 100% from 25% splash damage to all your non-primary targets, that will kill people. Like you will lose, Lei Mings will go down. Jaina's will go down. Tanks will be 25% of their life. Like you're creating real chaos for that team. Like that's actually suddenly the one pick, and who cares about Avatar now? That's really amazing.
So you're excited by this?
Yeah, very much.
All right.
Yeah, I love me some Muradin, as everyone knows, and I'm pretty jazzed about this change. All right. So there's all that. Good times, everybody. Let's get to core concepts. A simple one today. In the past, we've given you a litany of things that you can chew on and think about and apply to your gameplay. Today we're going to talk about a character in particular. He is a specialist. He's green. His eyes are goofy. He doesn't really know how to ride a mount very well. He has a fish with him. His name is Murky, and he's kind of a shithead, but he's in the game, and he is what he is. Now, a lot of people think I just don't like the idea of it being this cute little Murky monster, and that's my problem with the character. My problem has been I'm intimidated by his very strange play mechanics. Like, it's just so different of an approach for a character that's got virtually no life as it is. In fact, you kept telling me while I was playing, and be like, "No, get in there. And I kept trying to force my brain to say, quit trying to retreat, quit trying to Vala or Jaina this character and stay out of the crap, like go in head on and die if you have to, because your egg's just right around the corner. It was really hard for me to get that in my head and make that my mode of play. And when I did finally start getting better at it, I worried that it would carry over back into these characters I don't want to play that way. But that's where my intimidation comes from, just to give you some background. Like, it just seems so foreign that I thought I would just be terrible at it, or it would foul up the rest of my game or whatever. I really enjoyed it.
Favorite moment? Favorite moment is Murky.
First successful octograb and kill is a really special, awesome time. And it makes you wonder why that anyone ever picks anything but that. Like, why would you pick the little Murky army thing? Why would you do that?
Well, they are cute. They're cute little baby Murlocs.
They're adorable. I'll give you that. But they are dumb. Like, it's just a big spray of those things. I've never seen anyone die from it, ever. So it seems like to me, a good The best ultimates either will cause something's death if you can pull it off right, or assists in a glorious death or multiple deaths of with another teammate of yours. Anything that doesn't do that, it's kind of the rare pick for me when we're playing together. And yeah, that Octograb is something special. But yeah, no,
it's kind of like a worse Earthquake on Thrall in a way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it does a little more damage, but doesn't slow as much. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about the March is that it is good for lane pushing if you want to do that. But honestly, Murky's so good in a team fight, I don't know why you wouldn't want to help your team, and then you can go push. So Octograb is what you should be practicing getting good with. You got to throw down that fish, mm-hmm. and then Octograb, because at the end of the Octograb, once you're done beating up the enemy player with your fish, or your larva, depending on the skin you have.
Mm-hmm. Or shark. How talented you are.
Yeah. Then a fish blows up in their face.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't want a fish blowing up in your face.
Yeah. Especially not
a puffer fish. Never a good time.
Aren't those always poisonous? I guess that's the whole point of those puffer fish. But so, yeah, let me ask you. So here's the question that gets to the whole, that someone will maybe walk away from this with some advice. I always see him, like my impression of Murky is, oh, he's always bottom lane pushing. He's never up here with us fighting. He's always off doing a thing where he's taking down towers and working, you know, pestering somebody down low. And then he'll, toward the end game or post 10, he'll come up and Octograb as part of team fights, but then he's right back to bottom lane. Is that a fair place to say he should be all the time, or can he be played in ways that make him, I don't know, more offensive and less of a lane pusher? Or are you just a bad Murky player if you're not pushing lanes?
He's kind of multifaceted. The nice thing about Murky is, at the start, the reason he's typically just relegated to the bottom to push is because he is very effective at it. And so that is a very good place. He is a specialist. He is kind of designed in a way to encourage the push. But as you talent him up and as he gets better, you kind of can direct Murky into a couple different ways. And my philosophy with Murky, if you're going to pick Murky, make it your goal to be as annoying as humanly possible. That is now your goal. Your goal is to make somebody want to quit the game with how badly you're bothering them. Whether that's you're constantly destroying their towers and they're annoyed that you're down there doing it. Whether that's you're constantly just hitting them with a fish and they're trying to kill you, and every time they use a big move, you just bubble around them and float stupidly and then land and then keep hitting them with a fish. He can do not great damage, but consistent damage. And he's obviously very squishy by himself, but his abilities actually make him somewhat tanky as well. So he's kind of misleading in a lot of different ways because he does perform so many roles well. And of course, you can be reckless because he comes back to life so quickly and easily.
So give me some good advice about egg placement. The one unique mechanic, or not even his mechanic, his D or his trait, is that he can plop an egg down wherever he wants, and then that's where he'll rebirth after he dies. And you can get, you know, really reckless, not reckless, but risky with that. When it pays off, it's great because you can have an egg very much nearby and be a real problem for another team. Or at the very least, distract them to the point that they want to go look for your egg, which takes them out of the fight. Like, there's an interesting strategy with that. But where am I supposed to be putting the egg? Who's got the best advice for that?
So, I say maybe we split this. I'll give my initial impression, and then Bo, maybe you give your ideas for if you want to be an aggressive Murky and maybe a dangerous Murky. My safe bet. So, for a new Murky player, here's a little trick I really like. So, you want it as close to where you're going to be fighting as possible, but also still safe, because if they destroy your egg, he's going to have a full death timer if he dies. You can't respawn the egg right away, and Murky becomes visible to everybody on the map. And none of that's good. So the place I like to initially place my egg while I get a feel for how the battlefield's going to line up and how it's going to go is you can actually position it right alongside, just north of the fountain of the last gate before you get into the common area between the enemy gate and your gate. Mm-hmm. So you want your health fountain just north of it. And the reason for that is your fountain will actually cover up most of the Murky egg. Mm. It becomes very difficult to see the murky egg right there. And the reason I like to do it is it's not impossible to see, but if somebody shoots something over the wall, or let's say you have a Nova kind of sneaking into your base, the scope, there's a good chance that they're just not going to see it at first glance and wander away thinking maybe that's not where the egg is. So it's a little tip to maybe help you hide your egg. If you can hide it behind something, you give yourself that much better of a chance of it not being discovered.
Yeah, we hope no one else is listening to the show so that they won't screw you up when you try this trick.
That hiding spot's gone.
Well, yeah. You got to mix it up, though, a little bit, because I would say early stages, that's good. But if you want to get more aggressive, you need to plop it closer to what you think you're planning to be up to in terms of siege, because even though you do help in the team fights, your siege presence is the priority. And that's where you, especially on larger maps like Cursed Hollow, smaller maps, I would say play very safe with the egg. Like Towers of Doom, you may not want to get aggressive with it. There really is no reason to. But Cursed Hollow, Dragonshire is a good example of one where you want to be more careful. But Cursed Hollow, what's the other large one? Infernal Shrines, is a good example.
Sky Temple is pretty big.
You want to get aggressive with it because you will die easily. No biggie, but your travel time can, you know, how far you have to travel to get back to the action is going to make a big difference. And this is where the key piece of advice comes in, is that when I'm playing against a Murky, when I kill him, now I'm on high alert to see when he pops up next on the map. Because that's going to narrow down my guess as to where he came from to get to where he was based on the amount of seconds he was been missing from vision. This is a really key way to on how to isolate Murky to figure out, you know, oh, you killed him. And then all of a sudden he appeared top lane 5 seconds later. His egg is in that area, not in this area. But if he came from a weird direction like north and not back from his base, you kind of have a sense that his egg is not behind his wall. And then you can start scouting. You're wasting less time with the guess that you're scouting for it. So, you know, you want to be mindful as a Murky player not to just beeline straight back into vision, unless it's like at the apex of some huge team fight or whatever, and that stuff cast aside. Because if they do snag your egg, you still can get out. And that's the best feeling as Murky, is when they get your egg and now they want to get you and you get away. Yeah. That's always a good time.
Okay, so that's the other thing is, I guess, and this is something I just need to get better at. There's this feeling going in that I'm going to let the world down if my egg gets found. Like, I'm just it's the end of the world. It's not, you know, really all it means is even if they get the egg and kill me, I get a standard cooldown on my death like everyone else does. So I don't think it's end of the world, but it's hard for me to convince myself that it's not, because it seems like, lose your egg, then you're the worst Murky of all time. And that's a problem in my own head. I'm admitting here that it's all me, you know, this is just a me thing, but that's what's held me back. Part of what's held me back from playing that character. But I had enough fun with it this weekend that I'm just going to get him. I'm going to mess around with
him. And keep in mind, you can constantly move your egg, too. Right. So let's say some eagle-eyed observer has noticed that you came down directly from the north. Maybe harass for a little bit, throw out some siege, and then while they're up looking for it, you see them disappear to go look for it. Now go ahead and drop it in the south. They're now looking in completely the wrong area for your egg. And you can constantly, you know, every time you spawn, say, oh, you know what? I'm going to move my egg to a different spot. I'm gonna move it over here. In fact, the longer you leave it in the same spot, the more likely that's going to be found, because people are going to keep checking there.
I thought you had to go get it and then take it somewhere. And that's not it. It's the way it works, because every time everybody say, oh, move your egg. And I thought, oh, that means he's got to run over there, pick up his egg, take it somewhere else. That's not how the mechanic works. It works like you spawned an egg and now you can go somewhere else when your cooldown's done on the egg spawner and hit D again and poop out another egg. And now that's the new place. It's simple.
Now that you say it, though, I kind of wish you did carry your egg around, because I think that'd be adorable.
He's just carrying it around the map, running.
With it over his head, two hands over his head, it'd be brilliant. Where would he put the fish, though? In his diaper thing?
Probably. Yeah,
he's got a pocket in his diaper.
Yeah, his little diaper. Anyway, that's your basics on Murky. He's fun, and he's cheap right now, and probably going to just pick him up. I think he's 7,000 gold. I don't know what in dollars. Maybe that part's not on sale. Maybe only, it may just be 10. I got to check.
I will say one last thing on Murky real quick, though, because I feel like if we're going to talk about the pros of a character, let me also ruin anybody who wants to play this character's day by saying, if you want to ruin a Murky's life, attack the pufferfish when he throws it down. As soon as you see that pufferfish hit, right-click it and destroy it. If you are consistent about destroying pufferfish, you basically removed Murky's effectiveness from the game.
Wow. That's, I didn't realize that. Maybe I don't want to buy him now. Look at this great idea. No, so let me ask you this. Can any character do that, or are they going to have to have a certain kind of DPS minimum or something to
It might be very difficult for a slow attacking hero to kill the egg, just because you or the pufferfish, because you only have so much time to do it before it goes off. If you're a high speed attacker, though, there is no reason why you shouldn't be on it. You do have to act quick, though. So if you see him spit it out and you have to take a couple steps to even get to it, you're probably best just letting it blow up, because it's probably going to go off.
So like Raynor, Vala, who else? Raynor and Vala are probably good examples of who could do it.
Vala's yeah, great.
Though, yeah. But there is a counter to that. There's a counter to that. If you can get the talent at level 4 called Tougher Fish. And that makes your puffer fish a tougher fish and increases the health of it. So I don't know, if your puffer fish are getting focused a lot, you may want to consider the upgrade.
What's the trade-off?
What's that talent at that tier that you would trade for that? I can't think of the other.
Living, like, it's against Envenom, Bigger Slime, and Living the Dream. I think a lot of people like Living the Dream. I don't personally love that talent that much, but they're all good. So tougher fish is perfectly fine. If they find you're shooting your fish a lot, then get tougher fish.
Here's a talent-free option, too. Go stand on top of your puffer fish.
Yeah.
It gives them one more thing to have to try and target, and you don't get impacted by the puffer fish explosion. Mm-hmm. So if you can beat them to it and they're trying to right-click to attack it because it's not impacted by AoE, you can prevent them from being able to click it easily. And usually just being over it for a second or two is enough to guarantee it'll go off.
By the way, small little detour here. That's the same trick I use in Overwatch with the mine, with the concussion mine with Junkrat, because it doesn't hurt him when it blows. It will blow you. It'll move you, but it won't hurt you. And I'll poop one out, stand on it, and then someone will come toe-to-toes like a close character or whatever, like a melee character. They'll get up nice and close. Fire that thing off. It blows me out of danger's range. Doesn't hurt me at all. Just throws me back. And will either throw them back real far and do damage, or in a lot of cases, kill them. So
wow, I like that tip. That's a great little
It's
tip.
A good one. And I'd use it all the time. I use it all the time, especially when May, or not May. Yeah, May comes in and she's slowing me down. It's the perfect thing where she can't see it, so she's not shooting the mine to blow it up and make it useless. And she gets up so close to me with her freezing crap that as soon as I launch that thing off, she's usually almost dead anyway. And now she's really dead, and I'm not even frozen. I'm blown out of her freezing crap. It's awesome. People should try that if you're playing Overwatch.
If you haven't played Overwatch, you don't know what this means, but that is a super trick versus close range characters. Yeah. I never thought of before.
It's pretty great.
I love it.
Thanks. Let's see what else about Murky. Is that all about Murky? Probably all about Murky.
Well, I mean, you know, we can go through all the talents one by one, but I think it's more effective to say if you're intimidated by playing Murky or you want to play Murky effectively, you just need to, first of all, go in there and die a bunch of times and don't be nervous about letting your teammates down. That's what Murky does. Yeah. Your priority is sieging, and then when big important team fights happen, break it off to toss your octo grab and chase people down. You're kind of a tank. Especially when you go for what are they called, a bubble machine, so decrease the cooldown, and then rejuvenating bubble, so you get a really fast bubble proc, and it basically full heals you. Like, it says 50% of your health, but it's pretty much a full heal. So you just you kind of never die unless they focus and burst you, and in the middle of a team fight, you're not exactly the most threatening thing, you know. So get in there, shoot your slime off, shoot your puffer fish off, and be a nuisance, and you'll have a good time.
Plus,
and
your health, your health regens really quick, too, I noticed.
And you're great at doing camps, too. Don't be afraid of merc camps. Mm. You're actually a really good jungler. Mm. Because, especially once you hit 16, because you basically never die. So as soon as it gets dangerous, you bubble up, and the puffer fish blows up on them. It's so good.
All right.
He's so good. Yeah.
We also have a video up on our YouTube page that is a guide to Murky. If you want a talent build and some basic info on how he combos, check that out. Heroesforyou.com.
Yep.
And click the YouTube link.
Yep. We still don't have Core Heroes, do we? Hold on.
We do. YouTube.com/Core Heroes.
Oh, yeah. It does work. There we go. Okay. Go to YouTube. I was just double checking. YouTube.com/Core Heroes and you'll find it. Murky. He's still a threat. And no longer, you think the stigma's gone, right? Like, no longer does the player base as a whole. I know they get real excited to see him in pro play once in a while, just because it's Murky. But But generally speaking, it's, you know, it used to be looked at. I felt like I was in games and people would say, oh, great, I'm murky, GG, uninstall. Like, that was the attitude. I don't think that's there anymore. I feel like people have proven his worth. And
yes.
Would you agree? Okay, good.
Yeah, well, he's an ambassador for the Nexus. Good. You know Tracer's on the cover of the Overwatch box?
Yeah. Well,
here's the Storm had a box like that. It'd be murky.
It should be Uther with murky covering his face. Just like,
I see you're a little green gremlin looking thing. Have you checked out the hero store?
Well, on that note, time for them there emails and phone calls. You guys give us voicemails at 801-471-0462, or you can email us core@heroesforyou.com. We'll start with an email from Rick M, who says this: how often do you guys get to play the game? I'm wondering if I play too little or too much. He says in parentheses, my wife says too much. I maybe get 4 or 6 games in total a week. How about you guys? Rick M. That's a pretty good, it depends on my week. Like this week I've done much more than usual, or I guess last week, if you up to Sunday, I played way more Heroes than I usually do. Partly because, you know, our XP stream on Tuesday was chock full of Heroes the entire time. And, you know, all the stuff and the dorm stuff just got me excited to play. So I played a lot, but 4 to 6 games is kind of where I'm at, on, as a general rule. And it's like, you know, an average of a game a day. But usually it's clumped up in like 4 or 5 of those a night, and then one or two off in the weekend or something. So Rick, I think you're kind of in an okay place, especially if if you're married. I don't know if you've got kids or not, but it's a good place to be. I wouldn't call it overly casual either, though. I wouldn't say you're barely playing, but there are people.
Also, do you play other games?
Yeah. Like, what else do you do? Do you play other stuff? Cause that's the other problem I have, is I play a lot of other games. I like to, a new indie game came out today, or the latest Metal Gear Solid's out, or the whatever. So I jump in and out, but I don't know. I feel like he's doing all right. That's not that bad. Now, there are people on the other extreme. I don't know, Bo, what your average is right now, but you play Heroes every day. I don't know how often.
Yeah.
Or how many
I'm
games.
I'm up to 4,000 games played.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Which is since January of last year, I guess. So I don't know. We could do some quick math.
Yes.
And figure out how many games per day that is.
Well, hold on. Let's see. So we're going to do some interesting math here. So let's say 4,000 games. Let's say they're an average of 20 minutes apiece. That's about right, right?
So hang on. We got to figure out how many days we're calculating first. Right. So it's at least a year, because I bought in for somewhere mid-January is when it started. So 1, 2, let's say 3 months. So 1 year and 3 months. What is that? That's 15 months. So I've... Right? Yeah. 15 months I've been playing this game, yeah. And 365 days a year. I don't know.
I can tell you how many days you've been playing. You want to know the number?
Oh, yeah, please.
This is 24 hours straight days. Okay, this is 24 hours a day for straight. If you played for nothing but 24 hours a day.
Slash played?
Yeah, if you did a slash play, it'd be 55.5 days, 55 and a half days playtime of straight playtime. That's a lot, dude.
So divided by 365, let's say if it was for a year.
Yeah,
no, that doesn't work.
It'll be 365 divided
six
by
six games a day every day.
Yeah, that's your average.
So let's say 5. Let's round it down because it's a year and 3 months. So I play 5 games a day on average in the past year, the past 15 months that I played.
Wow.
I play a lot of this game, though. Like, it's my game. It's like when I come home from work or doing my thing, like I always try to make sure I get at least 1 or 2 games in a day because I want to keep on top of my ability in it, and I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. That might not be what Heroes is for you, and you don't have to feel like you need to approach the game that way to get anything out of it. It isn't like a play this way or, you know, suffer the abuse of people, mm-hmm. You know, rightly. So, you know, if whatever works for you, that's like a really tough personal question because it's all about your work-life balance and mm-hmm. family balance. Mm-hmm. So that answer is different for everybody. I'm fortunate in a weird way that I'm able to play as much as I can, I suppose. So.
Yeah, and it shows, like Bo's numbers are amazing. He's really, really good at the game. Like that is one of the benefits of it. But I don't know. I feel like he's doing all right. I think there are people out there that are lucky if they get 1 or 2 in. What were you going to say?
I just looked up my total games played.
Yeah.
It's 1,021.
All right. So let's see. 1,021 divided by, times 20 minutes. So 1,021 times 20 minutes average. That's that divided by 24 or no, 60. That's 340 divided by 24. That is 14 days, 18 hours.
All right.
That's not bad.
Respectable.
How'd you look that up? Where are you seeing this? Hot slogs or what?
I'm in the game client.
I
pulled up the game client to take a look. Hot Slogs actually only has 730 of the games on log for me.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit low, but
imagine playing that game. Just think about this for a second though. Like if you're Bo, play this game nonstop. It would kill you, but nonstop, 24 hours a day for 55 days straight. You know, what is that? Almost 3 months. No, almost 2 months straight. That's just so crazy.
Like, what game do you play that, you know, very few games get that amount of time in a person's life.
No,
you know?
Very few.
Think about it that way.
Yeah.
So it means a lot to me, this video game.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. You're doing the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hour thing. What's that called? I guess it's the 10,000 hour thing. But it's like the Beatles or Bill Gates or any of these people who achieve mastery in something. That's just how you do it. If that's what you're
aiming
for.
Sometimes you just got to put in the hours. Like, it's just, how do I get good at it?
Yeah, that's it.
Put in the hours.
If you want to be a good artist, you got to draw all the time. If you want to be a good painter, paint all the time. It's just the way it is. So
Rick, I mean, I think you need to look, maybe consult with a life coach or something like that and talk to your wife and figure out what your priorities are. Because if your priorities aren't, you know, being married and raising your family, you might want to start playing Heroes of the Storm 8 hours a day.
Exactly.
But I'm assuming that's not the case, that you love your wife. I'm just kind of being jokey. So don't actually, no, I don't want a divorce on my hands. You're on your own.
Yeah, dude. Good luck to you.
Don't listen to me. I'm a terrible example.
Get a wife coach and then a life coach. And then everything will be fine.
A wife coach. Yeah.
We got a email or a call here from somebody about a thing.
Recently, ever since the Zol patch, I've just had just the worst time in Hero League. Like the worst. I've dropped from rank 11. All the way back to 21, and that took me months to get out of, months. But in a matter of 2 weeks, I've managed to drop a lot of ranks. I was just wondering if you guys could maybe give me some pointers on how to break this losing habit, because it seems like every team I end up on, they're just so bad, and it's just getting to me. Like, it's like a mental thing now. Thanks.
All right, so how much of this do you think is just, like human beings do this. We want to look for reasons. So when you have a big loss, you're like, whoa, this all seems like it started happening around the Bazool patch. It must be something to do with that patch. We can probably throw that out though. I don't think that's got anything to do with it.
There's a few variables involved in it. Like, I mean, dude, I was rank 5, slipped all the way down to rank 17, back up to rank 12. There's this thing in gaming, in a lot of games, especially if you're performing on ladders, called variance. It's everywhere. You have to be able to withstand the psychological burden that variance puts on you. And everyone is subject to it, especially when there are RNG. It's like the matchmaker is a form of RNG. You don't know who you're going to get, and you don't know what kind of mood they're going to be in. It's not outside your control. And so there are days where I've lost 8 games in a row because I've refused to just, you know, I've wanted to keep playing because it's fun, and maybe I'm being stubborn about, you know, maybe I have to work the next day, so this is the day I have to play the games, and so I'm insisting on playing and losing a bunch of games. There's a lot of factors that I bet you can kind of look at and say, they weren't inside your control, but you could have walked away to a time where you were in a better mental state to play a game. Like today, I played a game and won with a troll on the team. There are days where my performance, I'm overestimating how well I'm playing, and there's days where I'm underestimating just how good I'm doing, and, you know, you get a 13-win win streak like we did this week. It's variance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to look at your bias. You're looking at it through a lens of bias. You're like, oh, man, I lose a bunch of games. Because if you lose a bunch of games and can earn your way back up, that means you're hitting variance, and that's not something to do with anything else but the variance of I think any competitive game, the way it's developed, unless you have a 5-man team that you practice with all the time to minimize your variance. If you're solo queuing, you are subject to variance. And so don't let yourself feel bad because of it. You have your own variance and the variance of the performance of your teammates, and that's just how it's going to go, man. And you know what, the journey is the reward. So a big way to lose games and to perform poorly at anything in life is to focus too much on the results.
Yeah.
I want to be Michael Jordan. No, just go play basketball. And you know, you have to focus on the moment. And if you keep up the habits of the moments, that builds on itself, and eventually you get to a place where maybe you're not Michael Jordan, but you're doing the thing that you love in life or something like that. So you got to approach your league that way. Otherwise, it'll just make you feel bad. And that's sort of, you sort of sound salty. And I've been there, brother. So, you know, just keep your chin up.
Yeah.
So Bo tackled mental. I'm going to go ahead and tackle mechanical, at least a couple things you could potentially do to maybe make life a little easier for yourself. Not to discount anything Bo said, absolutely spot on, but I don't want to just repeat him. So I would say take a look at what heroes you're picking and why you're picking those heroes. If you are trying to play too much of a metagame where you're picking essentially for your own team, and what I mean by that is sometimes you get into the draft and you think, okay, I'm going to take this and they'll take this and then we'll do this together. But they're people you can't communicate with. So you're formulating plans with people that you can't actually have a guarantee that they're going to perform. If you're really just wanting to, you know, get some wins and really progress and take control of your own destiny, so to speak, play heroes that are going to allow you to do that. Play characters that are going to allow you to carry for your team a little bit better without having to rely on other characters. You know, if you're playing a support, if you're playing Tassadar, like Tassadar is a fun, great hero, but I made the mistake of trying to play him competitively too much. And it was a nightmare because you are relying so heavily on your team doing what you want them to do. And if they're not executing on that, the best you can do is sit back and watch it happen.
Yep. I agree with that completely. I had a game where I was last pick and I should have taken a healer. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to help this game by playing a damage dealer. And we had no healer and we won the game.
Yep.
So like, I think the mistake sometimes when you're drafting, just as John said, is just to be like, oh, I need to take the counter pick. Just bring what you're good with, you know, and try and make it work sometimes. So yeah, you're right, John. It's, you have to leverage your strengths, and maybe that's an area you could definitely look at.
It's like what you describe reminds me of writer's block or artist block. Sometimes you just need to sit down with a sketchbook and do something weird that you wouldn't normally do, or you got to, like, you know, you just got to change stuff up. You know, sketch your dog's turd in the backyard or whatever it is. It's a bad example as usual, but you know what I mean. Like, just throw a wrench into what your usual expectations are, and sometimes you come out winning, and it's weird.
Yeah, you're talking about like your rational mind, which is critical, self-critical, versus just your irrational mind that just flows.
Yeah, just throw spaghetti on that wall. Let it go. See what sticks. Yeah. Exactly. Great call and email this week. Thank you guys for sending those in. Again, that phone number is 801-471-0462. You can always email us at core@heroesforyou.com. And that account will also accept your attachments. So if you'd rather send your audio commentary there, that's not a problem. I think that's going to do it for us. We'll have a new show next week. Heroesforyou.com is the website. All links are there. Everything you need to know. Leave us reviews on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It means a lot to us when you do. Don't forget to join us in game /join Frog Pants right there in the game. Play with us and other listeners. Great little community happening there. Core@heroesforyou.com. I already mentioned that. Core Heroes on Twitter. John_Jagger on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson. Bo's at Bo Schwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.